In 30 seconds, I'm leaving to Mars. Yeah, we leaving across these undefeatable odds. It's like this, man, you can't put a price on a life. Nah, we do this for the love, so we fight and sacrifice every night. So we ain't gonna stumble and fall, never. Nah. Waiting to see us in the sign of defeat. So we gon' keep everyone moving their feet. So bring back the beat, and then everyone sings.
It's not about the money.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network with Money and Change Financially Prepped Radio Show with Stu Scheer. And I'll tell you what, if you have a device, you can come over and see us anywhere as long as you can connect to the internet. So come on over to Trim Radio Network where you can shop, you can get our merchandise. And I'll tell you what, you have a favorite show, all you have to do is go on over, see our shop. You can buy merchandise for that favorite show and sport us around. We would love that and be honored. Plus, it helps us stay on the air. And we do broadcast live all over the world. So come on over to the Trim Radio Network. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, guess what? You can do that too. It is super easy, and we will show you exactly how to do it. So all you have to do is message us, and we will lead you the rest of the way. Anyway, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. That song right there, Price Tag, is Jesse J. And I'll tell you what, that is covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. 6105-1658. And there's a call, a number, 803-866-1667, 803-866-1667. And before I hand you over to Stu, as I usually do, go Buckeyes. That's all I got to say. Just go Ohio State. You did good yesterday, and I'll tell you what, I think you're going to be number three in the polls still, maybe number two, who knows. But anyway, without further ado, let me hand you on over to Stu.
Hey, Michael.
How are you, Stu?
Well, I'll tell you what. Happy rainy Sunday night, I guess. Just before the show came on, I was checking Weather Underground. And a big line of storms coming through. And I thought, oh, no. We had that last week. Are we going to have it again? Well, the thunder boomers came through, heavy rain came through, and wouldn't you know it, just before the show, the weather gods smiled on us, and I'll tell you what.
Got you through.
Yeah. I was thinking, oh, I may have to buy a new tower.
That's why when they come here, there's nothing that I can do. I just have to kind of shut it all down. I've had the battery backup systems. I've had the power systems, or it's supposed to protect everything, and it still has cost me over $2,500 three times. It blew out everything. So, hey, one last thought before I go, Stu. Folks, don't forget about 9/11 and all the people that we lost. So make sure that you say a prayer for them. And, God bless America. And hopefully we never see that again. So nobody does. Anyway, Stu, I'm going to let you have it. You take care. I will be back here at exactly 7:50.
Wow. Well, we'll get on with it here. I'll tell you what, When I was working at our main office in Columbus, I was at the Ohio State School for the Blind, and they invited me to come over, and I believe they were in Worthington, maybe, or Northern Columbus. Anyhow, they told me, hey, come on over and talk to us about the program that I was a part of, and they wanted to know how their students could get involved, what they had to do, how they had to learn things, and so forth. And it was a great, great session. I mean, it's amazing how I talked about our program and how we set blind people up into jobs and so forth. Well, I had been there for about an hour and a half, maybe hour and 45 minutes, and then I had to drive back to the office. So I drove back to the office, and the radio was just normal music and everything. And it was probably about maybe a half an hour drive or so in traffic. And I got back to the office and got in, and it was dead quiet in there. And we have 3,000 people working in that office. And I thought, wow, it's awful quiet here. So I got back to my cubicle office and put my stuff away and so forth. And everybody was over in the human resources section, gathered around a TV. And I thought, okay, what's going on? So I went over there and I told somebody at the back that I knew. I said, Shirley, aren't you supposed to be working? And she says, they just bombed the towers. I said, what? And so naturally I joined the guys in HR because I was just right across the hallway from them. So anyhow, we later got the notice that we were to vacate the office and head home, and we would be back in, I believe, 1 or 2 days. There was tightening security all over the place. And so that's what I remember of it. And it was pretty horrific to see what was going on, and to think that that could happen. You know, we had some people that tried to bomb it, I guess, once. And they didn't succeed, and those buildings were very well built. And somehow the second time wasn't a good time. A lot of strange things happened afterwards, and they're still not sure what caused everything to come down. It just wasn't an airplane and jet fuel. There had to be other things involved to melt metal the way that it did. But that's not for this show. There are a lot of theorists out there, a lot of engineers talking about it still, and it's way above my pay grade. Hey, speaking of pay grade, I don't get paid to do this show. I do it because I want to help people, and that's the way I want to do it. I don't really want to be paid. I'm retired. I do research for fun. And if I can help one person, that's fine. If I can help 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, 6,000, I don't care. If I can help somebody, that's worth it. You know, Michael does his disclaimer, so I'm going to do mine. Nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice, so you should always do your own research and consult with professionals. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of this show, out of the use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. So do your own due diligence. Well, hey, we've got shout outs. A big shout out, of course, to the Trim Radio Network. And I've worked with Michael for years back, and we formed a new network, and the Trim Radio Network is where we're at right now. And we're doing the show, and we're having fun doing it. And it is a fantastic group of broadcasters that have the show. Actually, their shows. We have quite a lot of shows that are on, and we want to expand some more because we're all over the world. I mean, it's no kidding. We're all over the world. I mean, I've got people listening in Myanmar, in India and South Africa, parts of Europe, North America, South America, all over. The only place, you know, I don't get people listening is Iceland. That's the only place. So if you're in Iceland, you know, hey, contact Trim Radio Network and let me know, okay? A big shout out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. Good school, good professors, great facilities. It's a Division II NCAA school, and right now it's football season. And, gee, I haven't been up there this year so far for football. I'm going to have to do that. I go up all the time for basketball. I just love their basketball team. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be heading to Ohio University, where I went to school, and taking part in the halftime ceremonies. And that will be great. I'll see a lot of people that I knew way back when. Big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. And that's R-U-S-T-Y and then D-U-K apostrophe S Custom Pens. Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens does a fantastic job. Michael and I both have pens from Rusty Duck. If your company needs a presentation pen or your school or wherever, or if you just want to have a neat pen, get a hold of Rusty Ducks Custom Pens on Facebook. And they've got pictures of all kinds of pens, and they don't go out until they are perfect. They are beautiful pens. They work all the time. They're great. Okay. Shout out, of course, to Money and Change because, hey, that's the show. And we also include Financially Prep because we talk a lot about prepping too. And we've been on now over 10 and a half years. That's amazing. Then we've got My World, Life, Laugh, and Whatever, and that's Wednesdays at 8 p.m. right here on the Trim Radio Network. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've got so much stuff to cover tonight. If I don't get to it, to do it, I'm going to go ahead and cover it on Wednesday just a little bit. I've got all kinds of stuff to cover Wednesday, too. It's busy. You know, when we have a weather emergency and we don't do the show, then all that stuff piles up for the next show. And then I put stuff on our Facebook page, which is Money and Change / Financially Prepped. And you can go to that and check us out there. And I've got a lot of stuff there, a lot. And I probably post every other day or so. And sometimes I'm putting up maybe two or three posts. Sometimes they're videos. Sometimes it's a written article. And you got to check that out. Money and Change / Financially Prepped. And we covered My World. So I've got some good stuff on to cover on Wednesday. And also check out Brad and Chris at the Big Family Homestead on Facebook. Or not Facebook, I'm sorry. YouTube. I've known these guys for a long time. Check them out. Also, check out Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. Fantastic people. I'll tell you what, if my neighbors were Brad and Krista and Danny and Wanda, and then also Southern Prepper One, Dave Kobler, I would, we'd have fun. And it'd be a great time, trust me. Danny and Wanda King live down around Wiggins, Mississippi. And like I said before, they have a farm down there and they do a lot of different things on the farm that it's just not a farm show. Trust me, he talks about a lot of different things. Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. He was just posting again today and he had boots on the ground time where people from all over the United States send him information as to why they can't get product or why they still have product in the stores. How employment is and so forth. And he probably gets 100 emails a day and he can't cover them all in 20 minutes. But he's great. I've talked to Dave, super guy willing to help anybody. Prepper Nurse One with Ed Carswell. Ed's back up in New York, and I think he's trying to finish up some stuff and then head back down to West Virginia here in a little bit. And there's also Nate at Canadian Prepper on YouTube, and Nate's not trying to sell as much now, but he's painting a dark picture. Evil things going to happen. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's how he does his thing. I kind of look at it optimistically, but I'm cautious about it, you know? I always take these articles I find with a grain of salt. If you don't and you let them dwell on you, I mean, you could probably get 2-3 hours sleep a night. And I don't want to scare people. Stuff's scary enough. I mean, trust me. I mean, I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and it scares the heck out of me. So it might you too. I don't know. Suddenly, if I'd get up in the morning and I'd look in the mirror and I'd see Lonnie Anderson, I'd go, holy cow, what happened? Then that isn't going to happen. No, no, no. Well, anyhow, I have a face for radio. Trust me. And if you're looking at me on Facebook, you know why, okay? A lot of stuff in the news that's going on. Last week, there was a report out from Hannah Brockhaus from the Catholic News Agency. And it was from the Rome newsroom. And it was about the Pope Francis instructs Vatican entities to move all funds to the Vatican Bank by September 30th. Something is going on. And this was published. And now it's starting to concern me a little bit. Now, the article said Pope Francis has ordered that the Holy See and connected entities move all financial assets to the Institute for Works of Religion, or the IOR, commonly known as the Vatican Bank. And the Pope's rescript issued on August 23rd clarifies the interpretation of the paragraph in the new constitution of the Roma Curia, Praedicat Evangelium, promulgated in March. And according to Francis's rescript, financial and liquid assets held in banks other than the IOR must be moved to the Vatican Bank within 30 days of September 1, 2022. Whoa. Why are they doing that? I don't know. We won't know until after something's done. But I'll tell you what, September 30th is coming up. I would watch how the markets go, the financial markets go, how the banks go, and see if anything starts to go a little wonky, if you know what I mean. I'm not going to define wonky. It's something that a lot of people know what it means. But what I would do is check the banks and see if your bank is a good, stable bank. If they have a lot of hedge funds and derivatives, I would look at possibly considering another institution. But that's just me, okay? Just my thoughts. And then over in Europe, man, Russia's cutting back on the gas and the oil and everything else that the Europeans are buying. And what's getting scary is they're shutting the stuff off, and now everybody's scrambling to say, okay, we need to restart the nuclear plants because they've shut some down. We need natural gas. We need gasoline. We need oil. Where are we going to get it? And Russia's playing hardball, and they can do it very well. And if you get everything from one source, it can be a rough time if that one source decides to say, okay, I'm angry at you. I'm going to turn off everything. So you don't have anything to generate electricity. You don't have anything to generate heat. You don't have anything to run your factories. I mean, it gets serious. And Russia's playing hardball. and it's going to get scary. I mean, they control it. So it depends on how we negotiate. Everybody in the sandbox has to play fair. And I've said that over and over and over. And since we're in a world situation, everything's and everybody's interdependent on everybody else. I mean, if we stop buying Chinese goods, the Chinese economy goes down the tubes. If we stop supplying grain to some countries, then, oh, it's famine city. So everything's interdependent. And so now Europe is going to have to figure out a way to heat, because winter's coming up, homes, how to run their factories, how to do different things differently than what they've done before. And a lot of countries are going to start butting heads. And it's not going to be a fun time. So, like I've always said in every show that I do, you need to prepare. You could be a prepper, maybe a closet prepper if you want. You could go ahead and buy canned goods, things that you need. Not just go out and buy anything, but you would get maybe green beans, canned potatoes, that's always good, or dried potatoes. You would also get maybe broccoli or whatever. I mean, get your vegetables in, because there's going to be a shortage. And you need to have enough food to last you probably until this next spring or summer. And if you're not prepping now, you have a problem. So I've always said, pay down your debt. Put some money aside. Buy long-term food, canned, frozen, freeze-dried, whatever. Start prepping that. Make sure you have your medicines. Make sure you have money set aside for use. If the banks suddenly say, well, we're shutting down, it's a national emergency or whatever, you have cash to buy things. Stock up and store gasoline safely. And that's the key. Do you have a good fire extinguisher? If you only have one, how many should you have in your house? That's something I always thought about. And I thought, oh, gee, I've got two in the garage. And I've got one in the computer room, just in case something goes wonky here. There's another word, wonky. And I have another one somewhere else. And I'll have to find it. Another thing, there's a thing out called Elide, E-L-I-D-E. It's a round ball. It's got a fuse on it that goes to a powder charge on the inside. And you have a fire going on, and you take and throw that ball into the fire. It will extinguish it. If not, it'll slow it down a little bit. Sometimes you have to take two balls and throw them in. It's a neat idea that they're made over in Indonesia, I believe. But you can get them on Amazon. E-L-I-D-E. Nice red ball. And they're good, I think, for 5 or 10 years. And you put them in places where you would have a fire. Like, for example, in my furnace room. Yeah, I could put two there. Oh, gee, where I have my grill, my outdoor grill, I could put one there. And they have little holders. You can put them up on the wall or whatever. Or you just have them handy. And all you do is throw them at the flame and they will go off. And I've seen the guy holding them in his hands, two of them. And they were lit. And he had a face mask on and a fire retardant suit. And the things went off. Didn't hurt him at all. Just covered him in white powder. Something to consider. But, you know, there are a lot of things out there. And like I said, you know, you pay down your debt, money aside, and so forth, and make sure you have your medications. Always make sure you have medications. Do you have a good first aid kit? Do you have the proper clothing for the next season? I mean, the guys down in Australia and so forth, it's going to start getting warm down there. But here it's in the Northern Hemisphere, it's going to start getting cold. And now they're saying it could get very, very cold. So do you have to put plastic up on your windows to make sure that you don't have any cold air coming in? Are you well insulated? A lot of things to consider now that we're going into fall here in the United States, well, in the Northern Hemisphere. Well, there's a thing in Switzerland. I was reading yesterday that Swiss citizens who overheat their homes this winter could face hefty fines and 3 years in jail. Further, there was another thing that there's a hotline people can call if they think their neighbor is abusing the heating rules. It's like ratting on your neighbor because they like to keep warm. Well, anyhow, this appeared on Zero Hedge, but said, after the Swiss and Finns, people in Finland, joined the Germans, Austrians, and Swedes in bailing out the energy providers who are facing trillions in margin calls, new legislation covering Switzerland's energy supply will make heating homes more than 19 degrees Celsius unlawful in the event of an energy shortage. Gee, I wish I had checked what 19 Celsius is. But it says, in addition, hot water should be not heated to more than 60 degrees, and portable electric heaters, saunas, and heated swimming pools are prohibited. Es ist verboten. Well, can you imagine living in a house in the middle of winter and it's less than 60 degrees in the house? How would you dress for that? How would you maintain your heat? And you can't use a portable heater. Some people say, well, you can get a tent and put the tent up in the living room and live in the tent. And you could use a candle to heat the tent and you could stay warm in the tent while the house is at less than 60 degrees. But here the government's coming in. They're saying, well, you have to keep it at this temperature. No more than that. You ought to be asking the question, why do we have to keep it that way? And why did the government get it to that stage of events? The fine to be imposed in Switzerland on consumers found to be violating the new energy laws will range from 30 francs up to a maximum of 3,000 francs per day. Per day. That is draconian, in my viewpoint. But they're also saying that police chiefs believe that enforcement will be difficult. Yeah, I could imagine somebody coming over to your house, knocking on the door and says, I'm here to check your temperature. Oh, I just thought of something, but I can't. Oh, no, I can't say it on the air because I would be referring to telling that inspector how he could wear a proctological thermometer. There, I put it kindly, okay? There was a report that came out. Michael Snyder had it on the Economic Collapse blog. And Michael's a very good writer. But he said food banks all over the U.S. are overwhelmed as cost of living pushes more into poverty. Things are getting more expensive, so you have to learn how to conserve. And one way that I'm doing it, you know, I love pickles. And I love Famous Dave's pickles. I'm not really promoting it. You can try them if you want. They're spicy a little bit and sweet. They're good. And I heard somebody say, well, save the brine, and then you get small cucumbers like at Aldi's, and you chop them up, you know, slice them into thin slices, and put them back in the brine. And you let them set in the brine for 30 days. Shaking them every, you know, maybe once a week. And try the pickles to see if they work. Well, guess what? I did. And I've made my third jar of Famous Dave's pickles. And that's a way to save, because Famous Dave's, I don't know, they're $4 a jar, I think. So I'm saving some money there. But you're going to have to find other ways to save money. The food banks are overwhelmed. And Columbia Falls Food Bank is now overwhelmed by the level of demand that it is experiencing. And unfortunately, the same thing can be said for countless other food banks across the nation. Whether you're in Cincinnati, or whether you're in Dayton or Cleveland or Columbus or Detroit, wherever, guess what? The food banks are starting to dry up because a lot of people are getting food from them. Now, I know in Cincinnati, the food bank down there, a lot of the restaurants will take their leftover food and send it to a food bank for redistribution. And they have, you know, you can only keep it so long. And past a certain point, you have to toss it. Well, if you're going to toss it and it's still good, then maybe the food bank might be able to use it. And that's the way that they do things. And it's like with lettuce or other vegetables and so forth. They would go ahead and donate that. And that's great. That's great. And it helps a lot of people. But food banks are having a lot of problems. And that's what's scary. There was an article that came out. Let's see here. Again, Zero Hedge again. It said UN found food officials warn fertilizer affordability crisis could slash global grain production by 40%. Wow. Where are we getting the fertilizer? Russia and China, among other places. But you have a problem with fertilizer. We're not going to see it as much this year as we will next year. And, you know, we may have to go back to organic farming. That's going to cut the yield back. I know some farmers that basically cover 3,000 to 4,000 acres on their farms. And they have a very big operation. And it's not scaring them this year about fertilizer. It's next year, especially the cost. The cost of fertilizer next year could double. And then food prices are going to have to go up, because if the farmer has to pay out double the price when he sells it to the markets or wherever, he's going to have to add that in there, because he's not going to take a loss. So you can expect food prices to go up. And if you go to our page in Facebook, Money and Change / Financially Prepped, that article's there, among others. There's a list of 33 things we know about coming food shortages, and we're going to get into just a few of them. So if you go, and this is called a tease, but if you go to the Money and Change / Financially Prepped page in Facebook, you can get in there free. You can join us for free. It's a public group. And you can see all the things that we've posted there. I mean, we've got the 33 things. We've got global. Boy, the tongue isn't working and the teeth aren't working. And the teeth are my own natural teeth. Anyhow, the global economic meltdown begins. And how to protect yourself. It's one of two with David Dubine. And I researched that, and there was a, the part two is after that. And I had somebody by the name of Victoria Smith, and Victoria, if you're listening, you said, I'm getting a bit nervous. It's happening, and our assets are proof of this. Resources are scarce, and so is money. You having the same problem? And I replied back to Victoria. I said, I know about this problem. I said, watch the markets just before the 20th. And I said, prep, pray, and stay out of the way. I got that from Roy Potter. He's pretty good. I follow him a little bit. But that's his phrase. And it's true. Prep, pray, and stay out of the way. And then also, I've got videos in there from Dave Kobler and others, and especially the one from Pope Francis instructs the Vatican. Walmart prices doubling, all kinds of stuff. You just have to check our Facebook page. You have to. And if you go to moneyandchange.weebly.com, we've got a lot of stuff there too, and that's on the web. It's been there for years. It's also a backup. We've got plenty of videos there. But the price on fertilizer, it could double. And it said, other UN officials in recent week have stepped up warnings about the affordability crisis of fertilizer. Prices in North America have come off the highs, but remain 220% above levels in 2020. Should we be worried? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. About as nervous as a product tester in an Ex-Lax factory. Where did I come up with that? Right off the top of my head. Oh, my goodness. Well, anyhow, here's the list of 33 things we know about the coming food shortages, according to Michael Snyder. I'm just going to go through a few of them. Number one, the hard red winter wheat crop in the United States this year was the smallest since 1963. But in 1963, there were only 182 million people living in this nation. And today, we have 329 million people. Number two, it is being projected that the rice harvest in California will be half of what it would be in a normal year. Why? Lack of water. They had a tropical storm that came in and really doused the West Coast. But it's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough to fill the reservoirs and so forth. They're going to have a lot more rain to do that. And the rice crop, might as well wait until next year and hopefully get enough rain to do it. The third one is the U.S. tomato harvest will come in at just 10.5 million tons in 2022. That's over a million tons lower than a normal year. So what do you want to do next year? Plant heirloom tomatoes. Heirloom tomatoes, and you can get those at, I don't know, Patriot Supply or other places. You can get a whole thing of all kinds of seeds, but make sure they're good for your climate. There will be the worst U.S. corn harvest in at least a decade. So now we've got corn, we've got tomatoes, we've got rice. There was a potato problem. Year-to-date shipments of carrots in the United States are down 45%. Watch out, Bugs Bunny. Do you like carrots? What's up, Doc? I don't. I mean, I don't like carrots. There's just something about them. But a lot of people like carrots. I don't know. How about the year-to-date shipments of sweet corn in the United States are down 20%. Now, when I go to Aldi's, I don't like regular corn. I like sweet corn. And I get cans of canned sweet corn, and I love it. And I can make a casserole out of that. It's pretty good. How about celery? Year-to-date shipment of celery in the United States are down 11%. Total peach production in the U.S. is down 15%. Almost three-fourths of all U.S. farmers say that this year's drought is hurting their harvest. No kidding. Here in the Midwest, we don't have that problem. And just before the show, we had a pretty good rainstorm. And it's over with now, but later on, we're going to get hit with another one. And when I am out on the road and I look over at the corn crops, boy, they're tall. And they're packed so tightly, I can get lost in a cornfield. I probably won't find my way out for a long time. It's going to be a good harvest in the Midwest, but the farther west you go, you get out into Iowa, it may not be, because they've had a little bit more drought. And that's what gets so scary. And it's not just here, it's in France, it's in Germany, it's in England. One of the things that Mike Snyder brought up, in China, they are facing the worst drought they have ever experienced in recorded history. We've got things drying up. Where's the water going? Somebody's sucking it out and taking it to Mars? I don't know. But it's getting scary. Here's one thing I found today. The Wall Street Journal came out. And I check about 22 different sources a day to prep for this show. And it gets kind of scary here. They were talking about the COVID bug cases, USA 7-day average, 65,696 September 10th in 2022. And then I believe it's year to date, September 10th, 2021 was 146,790. Deaths or cases. Deaths, 7-day average, 392 on September 10th, 2022. And in September 10th, 2021, it was 1,642. I had an experience this last Friday. I went to the emergency room. I don't normally do that, but this had me a little scared. And they were checking the heart and so forth. I was feeling tired and I couldn't figure out why. Well, anyhow, they said, oh, you've got an infection. We'll give you something for you. You'll be fine. And it kind of snapped me out of it. I was only getting about 2 to 3 hours sleep a night. And then doing research for the show and other projects that I have going on and everything else. And they gave me the COVID test. They take this little Q-tip, actually a long-handled Q-tip, and ram it up your nose, run it around a few times. They go, okay, that side's done. We're going to do the other one. Yeah. Practically go to the brain is what it feels like. And they get done with that, and they take the test out and so forth. Well, I immediately got a Kleenex and wiped my noses. I super wiped them. Those swabs reportedly have ethylene glycol, which is a cancer-causing type of thing. You know what I mean? Hospitals use it to sterilize equipment. You can't really be around it that much. So just to protect myself, that's my first swab ever. And I take a series of vitamins and so forth. I watch who I'm around, what I'm doing, and so forth. So I had my experience at the ER. Very good people, fantastic. The Kettering Health System here in Ohio is fantastic. Can't say enough about them. But I had that experience. And of course, you run the hand sanitizer and everything else. A lot of fresh air, a lot of sunshine. Take your vitamins, I think you'll be good. But that's just me. Another report came out authored by Margaret Menge, or Menge, M-E-N-G-E, from the Epoch Times, and it said adults aged 35 to 44 died at twice the expected rates last summer, life insurance data suggests. Kind of scary. And there was a researcher by the name of Cliff High, H-I-G-H. And Cliff was talking about, and this was like 4 months ago, that we will start seeing more incidences of the bug death later on. And he said maybe by winter. That's more impetus to eat the right foods, the right vegetables. Make sure that you wash your hands. Make sure that you keep things clean in the house. Make sure that you watch out for your health. And I believe Cliff is about probably 90 to 95% correct in everything that he produces. He was an actuary that did stuff for insurance companies, and he did a lot of statistics, and so he knows his stuff. Cliff is on a little bit of a sabbatical. He's building a house out in Washington someplace, out in the backwoods. Super smart guy. I really like to listen to what he's telling people because he's correct. It can scare you. But if you're prepared, then you shouldn't have a problem. I think this next week, I think Wednesday, we're going to get back into buying or renting. You know, what should you buy or should you rent? I rented for a long time. I didn't have a lot of really responsibilities. And living in a large city, yeah, I rented. I didn't want to buy. And the main reason was I could be transferred at any time someplace else. And if I bought a house, then I would have a problem. But do you buy or do you rent? You have more taxes, more write-offs, and everything associated with it. And when you need a new roof, it's not cheap. It's like $5,500 to $10,000 to put a new roof on. How about a new asphalt driveway? There's money there. How about a new furnace? New HVAC system for me was almost $10,000. Luckily, I did it before winter. And everything's under warranty. So hopefully everything there works out. We'll be talking about a lot of different stuff coming up. And I know Michael's going to be back on here shortly. He's probably listening and saying, when's he going to shut up? Jeez, we got to go do another show here. He's got to get off the air. Well, anyhow, guys, I always like to end with a little joke. Then that kind of makes him laugh. And then I go ahead and I'm cleared for the rest of the night. But a fellow was waiting on an appointment in the doctor's office when a nun walked out of the examination room, furious. Have you ever seen a furious nun? Especially the ones with the big red rulers that, you know, or the metal rulers that crack your hands if you mess up. And when a fellow went to see the doctor, he said, "Doctor, what did you tell that lady?" And the doctor explained that he told her that she was pregnant. The young man said, "What did you do that for, doc?" And the doctor replied, "Well, it sure stopped the hiccups, didn't it?" I don't hear any laughter out there. Well, that would probably work. But anyhow, guys, there's so much going on in the world. You have to be prepared. Start buying canned goods, the food that you eat, greens, corn, peas, potatoes, beets. Beets are good. There are a lot of things you need to start prepping for. If you need to get a small freezer for meats and whatever, go ahead and do that if you have the money and the time. But you have to start prepping. It's an important thing right now. Do you have power backups? Do you have a generator? Do you have maybe a solar generator? Do you have extra batteries? Do you have extra water? Do you have ways of purifying water? There's all kinds of things to think about. You don't want it keeping you up late at night, but what you do want to do is be prepared for the worst. And if you do that, the worst won't be that bad. You'll be way ahead of your neighbors because there are a lot of people that just want to go out there and party and not pay any attention. And then when the stuff hits the fan, and you know what stuff it is, you're prepared. And you don't have to worry about things. Do you have radios? Do you have batteries for the radios? You know, the people here on Facebook, they see me hold up. This is a GMRS radio. It's kind of like a handy talkie. But I can talk to people 5 to 30 miles away with this thing under the right conditions. And I can talk to my neighbors that have these, and we can keep in touch during an emergency if the power goes down or we have internet interruptions or whatever. We can stay in touch with people. The one that I have right now is an Oxun, Oxun, and it's a KGUV9G. And I can listen to all kinds of emergency things going on, as well as talk to people. It comes in handy. I've got several of these. And I'm just going to tell you, they're great to have. And form a network of people that can get together and help each other out in an emergency. That is the key thing. Maybe that's my prepping notice for the show. But also check the banks and see how they are doing. See how exposed they are. See how their hedge funds and derivatives are. How much money do they have loaned out? How much stock do they have? How much, you know, a lot of things to consider. And if you have to move your money to a different bank, like, for example, a credit union, and I'll just say it, Wright-Patterson Credit Union around here, I moved some money. It wasn't a lot, but I moved some in. I just gained $2.46 in interest. That was amazing. Regular banks don't even pay that out. So that's something to consider. You know, move your money around, check the banks, see who's doing what, and go from there. But it's time that we really buckle down and make sure that we are prepared for what's coming, because it could happen September 20th. It could happen sometime in October. It could happen in November. It could happen in December, or it could go into 2023. We don't know when the time is. And that's why we have to be prepared. And Michael, you missed a good joke.
I'll have to catch it next time.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to tell it on Wednesday.
Okay.
Sometime during the show, but you're going to have to listen, okay?
I will.
Well, anyhow, guys, that's all I've got for this week. We've got other shows coming up, and Michael will probably tell you about that. But you guys have a good week. Start prepping. Start watching how your money is spent and how it's saved. And we'll talk to you Wednesday on My World. Live, laugh, and whatever at 8 p.m.
Okay, guys, don't forget on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to be moving the football. It's called Offsides College Top 25 Plus 5, and then we're going to have a little NFL thing right afterward, and then right after that, Take Point 22 is going to be coming up. Anyway, thank you for joining us on the Trim Radio Network. God bless, guys. Take care.
Okay. Coconut Man, Moonheads, need the keys and guitars. And it's within 30 seconds I'm leaving to Mars. Yeah, we leaping across these undefeatable odds. It's like this, man, you can't put a price on a life. Now we do this for the love, so we fight and sacrifice every night. So we ain't gonna stumble and fall, never. Waiting to see us in the sign of defeat. So we gonna keep everyone moving their feet. So bring back the beat, and then everyone sing.
It's not about the money.